Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbor,
we're your neighbor.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hand,
and God favor.
God
favor. We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbor,
we're your neighbor.
Seems like we've all been conditioned.
By not following all of Allah's revelations, of which the Holy Quran is a composition, you will not know what lies those of the human being, because the Quran is perfected and protected by Allah. This last revelation is for all human life. Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, also says, no one will be able to understand his revelation, the Quran, until their heart becomes pure and clean. So people, the purpose of human life is to follow and obey the guidance of Allah in his final revelation, the Quran. And people, Allah has perfected and protected the Quran from all evil spirits. So if you want to stop all this evil in your life and this world, you must come back to your Creator, Allah, and His Master Plan for your true spiritual life. Revelations are the guidance for intelligent human beings and intelligent human beings. As-salamu alaykum, because you see we have a profound discussion today. And I think we can all relate and understand exactly the message that is being brought to us by Imam Shahid Shabazz. And without any further delay, I will see if we have Imam. Yes, we do have Imam. Let's bring him on now. Imam Shahid Shabazz, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Alhamdulillah. Yes, your audience is waiting for that wonderful message you have for them today.
Well, I give all praises to our Allah, Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator and sustainer of all the worlds. We open with praise in him for all of his goodness to us, with the most beautiful words in the Quran that Allah say, you read these words, it sums up almost the whole Quran. And this is called Al-Fatiha. So we open up with Al-Fatiha. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. People, we just said, and it's translated in the English language, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the guardian, evolver, the cherisher and sustainer of all worlds. We say that Allah is one creator. I'm just adding this in. We ask Allah to bless us to stay in remembrance that he is the creator of all people and all things. And with this, we ask Allah to guide us on his straight path, on the path that is straight. What Allah means by straight, we know in this English language, even straight means straight and crooked means crooked. And the quickest way to your destination, even materially speaking, physically, is a straight way. If you turn off and go and make curves, and you will take longer to get there, and you might get lost. So it's the same way with us in life. We ask Allah to protect us. First, we ask Allah to guide us, those of us who don't have Allah's guidance in our life, and that's most Muslims do. We ask him to guide us, bless our hearts to understand that, as the sister said in the beginning, he only accepts a clean and pure heart. And so we'll say, Ameen, with that, Allah protect us from going astray. Ameen. And now we want to speak on the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. Prophet Muhammad said, righteousness is good morality. Now, we don't need to go no further right now. Let's speak on that for a moment. Righteousness is good morality. Also, he said, religion is sincerity. Without these two, you can be a Muslim, Christian, whatever you want to call yourself, you're not connected with Allah, and Allah is not connected with you. You're on your own, and you're left to your own evil and the evil of the Satan, the devil. That's what we see with most people in the world. In essence, in the Quran, Allah says when we forget him, Allah, we forget our own souls. Life for the human being, as the sister said, is intelligent life. Now, what is intelligent life? Intelligent life is thinking life. So what does that mean? That means if the human being don't think, they will never come into their true life, spiritual life. And just because you hear people rattling off knowledge, whether they're Muslim, Christian, Jew, whether they are reciting the Quranic knowledge in the Arabic language of the Quran, ultimately, it's not for the rituals they're going through. It's their conduct. The whole purpose of us being down here in this world is to be tested, Allah say, to see which of us will be best in conduct. Now hold it. How can we be best in conduct? Allah don't leave us without guidance. He give us all the guidance we need in this world to help us to overcome the trials and tribulations that we have to go through to get back to him. So I just want to take my time and let Allah speak through me and let you all know that time for us in this world is very short now, getting shorter by the days. We don't have time to those of us who want to save our soul. We don't have time to invest in material future. You hear most Muslims and people talking about their future here. I'm going to make me $1 million. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. All the things that, like, they're going to stay around here on this planet for Earth forever. And you don't see them preparing for Allah and the day of judgment. Why? Ain't no way you prepared to die if you living in evil. It's a group used to be in my hometown called the Modulation. They say, you know, they say most people, it's called rough out here, say most people can't afford to die. And what they was really talking about in essence is that during that time there was a lot of depression with especially African-American or black people. And they were singing songs, the singing groups back in the 50s and 60s and the early 70s to awaken our soul, awaken our spirit, and awaken our mind to the reality of how to free our own self from slavery. See, the whites and the Jews, the Judaic European, they use a psychology to keep us in slavery forever, unless that psychology is broken. And this specifically for African American people right now, this point of the talk. Until that cycle of slave mentality is broken, African American people will continue to kill themselves and each other at an alarming rate. And that's what they're doing. And the whole world in general is destroying itself all over the world, wars, killing people. Allah didn't create this world. Me and a lady was talking about the other day, one of my customers. We say, God, Allah didn't create this world for evil. He created this world for good. And Allah only accepts good. So I just want those to know in my conclusion, before I conclude right now, that faith and doing what you want to do is no faith at all. And that's what most people are doing, Allah say. They want to have faith as long as everything going. No, they have faith, yeah, as long as everything is going okay for them, good, as they call it, you know. But when they go through a trial of affliction or some type of suffering, you hear them, most of them just, are saying things like, I don't know why God done left me or forsaken me, and God, why are you doing this to me? Or saying all types of ignorant things like this. If they had faith in Allah, their creator, they would understand that the trial and tribulations that we have to go through here is for our purification so we can go back to Allah and his eternal kingdom after we are resurrected and judged. Allah say, do not accept in a state of Islam. And what this means is do not accept in a state of submission to the will of Allah completely. And I want to say, too, that when we are true believers in Allah, you don't have to say a word. Prophet Muhammad said, when a true believer in Allah is seen, just seen, they remind people of Allah just by their conduct. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum as-salam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, Reality of the Creator. And we want to thank you for joining us this morning. As you can see, we have a beautiful discussion going here, and we are waiting on you for your comments and your feedback, and we know that you are enjoying this as well as we are bringing it to you. So we're going to go to our guest now and see if we have anyone at this time who would like to give us a comment. I see here, I believe we have a 404 number. That was one of the first callers on today. And it was, I believe that's our beautiful brother Imam from Georgia. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. How are you, brother Imam?
I'm good, brother Imam Kareem. I'm very good. I'm grateful. Somebody asked me shortly yesterday, say, how's your day? How's your day? And you know what I tell everybody, Muslims, non-Muslims, I say, all my days are good. Every day is a good day for me. When you know I'm obeying my Creator, Allahu Akbar, when I'm obeying my Creator the best I can, how can you have a bad day?
I'm doing that.
You're going
to
have a cloudy day.
I want to remind people. Pardon?
You go ahead on, brother, man.
Okay. I want to remind people to make sure that you go and subscribe and watch my videos at Inner City Voice for Dawah at my YouTube channel. I haven't put up any new videos in the last week or so because I'm having some difficulties with my eyes, and I have an operation scheduled for next month, so it makes it difficult for me to do the videos. But I wanted to talk today about the people of the book, what Allah says about the people of the book. Allah says in the Quran, if instead of rebellion the people of the book had believed and adopted the way of fearing Allah, we would have removed their evils from them and admitted them into the gardens of bliss. Had they observed the Torah and the Gospel and the other books which had been sent down to them by their Lord, abundance would have been given to them from above and from beneath. Though there are some among them who are righteous, most of them are evildoers. This is found in Surah Al-Ma'idah. This sentence refers to a speech of the prophet Moses contained in Leviticus 26th chapter and Deuteronomy 28th chapter, where he said Moses warned the Israelites in detail. He said, if you will carefully carry out all his commands, then Allah will lift you high above all the nations of the earth, and all his blessings shall come upon you. But if you do not listen to the voice of Allah and are not mindful of Allah's commands and rules, then shall all sorts of curses, calamities, and plagues come upon you. The Eternal will have you routed in front of your foes. Allah again says in the Quran, O Messenger, convey to the people whatever has been sent down to you from your Lord. For if you do not do this, you will not be doing justice to his message. Allah will protect you from the mischievous deeds of the people. Rest assured that he will not show the disbelievers the way to success against you. Tell them plainly, O people of the book, you have no valid ground to stand on unless you observe the Torah and the Gospel and the other books which have been sent down to you from your Lord. It is certain that the foregoing decree which has been sent down to you from your Lord will increase all the more the rebellion and disbelief of many of them. But you should not grieve for the disbelievers. This is also in Surah Al-Ma'idah. So what does this mean to observe the Torah and the Gospel? This means to follow their teachings sincerely and to follow the code of life laid down on them. In this connection, one must keep in mind that the Bible contains two kinds of writings. Some portions in it have been added by the Jewish and Christian scholars. It is obvious that the Quran does not demand the observance of these parts. Parts of the Bible have not remained wholly intact and have been tampered with by the translators, the commentators, etc. Nevertheless, one does feel that they teach the same fundamental principles of the oneness of Allah that the Quran teaches. It presents the same principles which the Quran presents and guides man to the same way of life that has been laid down in the Quran. Thus it is clear that if the Jews and Christians had been following those teachings which have been attributed to Allah and their prophets in the Bible, most surely they would have been a community of righteous people at the time when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a messenger, and would have readily recognized that the Quran contained the same message that was contained in the former books. In that case, they would have felt no difficulty in following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For them, there would have been no question of changing their religion. This would have been a continuation of the same way they were following before. Allah says, whoever from among the Muslims, Jews, Sabaeans, and the Christians believes in Allah in the last day and does good deeds and have no cause of fear, grief, or sorrow, we made a solemn covenant with the children of Israel and sent many messengers to them. But whenever any messenger came to them with a thing which was against their desires, they had treated him as a liar or killed him. Yet they presumed that no mischief would come of it. Therefore, they became blind and deaf. After this, Allah forgave them, but again, most of them went on behaving even more like the blind and the deaf. Allah has been watching all the evil things they have been doing. Most certainly they committed blasphemy who said, Allah, he is indeed the Messiah, Mary's son. Whereas the Messiah said, O children of Israel, worship Allah alone, who is my Lord and your Lord as well. Whoever joins a partner with Allah, Allah shall forbid him the garden, and hell shall be his abode, and such workers of iniquity shall have no helper. I'm going to stop you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. That was very, very, I want to use the right word. That was very, very beautiful, first of all. Because Prophet Muhammad said, Allah's truth is beautiful. And when I was growing up, as a little boy throughout my life, especially as a little boy, till I was about 10, 11, 12, used to hear our people, they were more spiritual African Americans in this country. And I had a point based upon what you said, and so many things came to my mind. Anyway, I'll pass that by, and I'll just say this right here. That was beautiful, Brother Imam, because, you know, we need to understand the simplicity. The simplicity. Make Islam simple for the people to understand, because this society that we're living in called America, not talking about the world society at large right now, America, this America. America was founded on bloodshed of innocent Africans, Indians, Chinese. America's governmental system is a system of satanicism. They believe in it's supposed to be democracy, but like Malcolm X said, Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, we have never seen democracy. Even today, he said, all we've experienced and we experienced in the day is hypocrisy. So somebody mentioned early on about hypocrites. I think it was you, Brother Imam. And Allah speaks strongly against hypocrites in the Quran. I was talking to a young man last night, letting them know that, you know, you cannot follow Allah. You cannot follow your Creator doing what you want to do sometimes, which is wrong. Allah said all the good that happens to people come from Allah. Allah said all the evil that come from people come from themselves. And Allah said, you can't be true, a true believer in him. This is strong. I want you all to get this who don't understand this. Allah said, you cannot be a true believer in him, no matter how much you talk about Allah. Read the Quran. Allah said, you cannot be a true believer in him until you gain mastery over your carnal desires, which is your flesh desires. So this is very important because, you know, we look out in the world today, and, you know, people, most people are worse than animals. Animals go by a certain nature. They do certain things. That's their nature. And they don't try to go be against their nature. Even when we're slaughtering animals for a halal, making the meat pure, Allah making the meat pure and clean for us to eat. Allah say, don't kill the animal until he's calm. See, because it's in the nature of that animal to be slaughtered for food for human beings, and the animal knows this too in its nature. So if the human being pray over the animal, we're supposed to pray, then the animal can feel the power of Allah, and the animal knows that this is Allah's decree, so the animal submit. Similar to like Prophet Abraham, we just kept to celebrating Eid al-Adha. When Allah asks us to do anything, even to the laying down of our life, if we have to fight to stand up for Allah's truth, righteousness, and justice, we are supposed to be willing to do it without a doubt, without any hesitation or reservation. These Muslims, these so-called religious people today, are people who ain't in religion who say they believe in our Almighty God. You can't believe in God and do things the way you want to do it and think he accepts that. You can deceive yourself until you die, thinking that, you know, I'm doing what Allah wants me to do. I done a lot of good and this and that. Allah say 999 people out of every 1,000 people on the day of judgment going to hell. Why? Allah say it won't because they didn't do good. He said it won't because they didn't make their prayers. He said it won't because they didn't recite the Quran and teach the Quran to others. And he said it won't because they didn't spend wealth, some of them even enough wealth as much as the mountains in height. So Allah said the reason these people are going to hell is for this reason right here. Yes, this is very important right here. It's because Allah say most people, the good that you see them supposedly doing, they're not doing it feasibly Allah to please Allah. They're doing it for self glory. Self. They want attention on self. And me myself personal, and no one has to agree with this. We can disagree to agree. But me, myself, personally, see African-American people as being the worst in this way right here in terms of our individuality and in terms of our, you know, hating themselves and trying to love other people. And also practicing hypocrisy worse than I ever seen before. It was a time when I'm about through, there were homosexuals when I was a little boy. There weren't but a few. And the few and lesbian there was, guess what? They didn't come out in the open. They done that hidden. A lot of them we didn't even know was like that because we were living in some times where I'm in my 60s where our people were more God conscious. They ain't even God conscious no more today, the majority of them, Muslims or non-Muslims. In America, only thing, and it's a thing they conscious of, is their own terrible, terrible self. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum Islam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. As you can see, we have a heavy and strong conversation going today for us, a beautiful conversation from our brother in Atlanta and Imam Shahid Shabazz, the host, of course. They both have spoken and given us such beautiful information to digest today. So, Lord, audience, I pray that you are with us, you are listening, and that you are enjoying so far. But we want you to also join us. Join the discussion, join the conversation by pushing the number one button on your phone. When you do that, your number will show up in the studio, and you will be called on to give us some feedback. We're discussing today people. Allah created everything to follow divine laws. And we are understanding here that when divine laws are brought to us by our messengers, by our prophets, we instantly rebel against them. So we can see for generations, thousands of years now, ever since man's been on earth, he's been rebellious. He's been rebellious against the will of Allah. He's been rebellious against the following the rules and laws of Allah. And we see how submissive, likewise, the rest of Allah's creation is. Look at the animals when they are being slaughtered, how they humble themselves. I was looking at a slaughtering they showed the other day on Facebook, I think it was. And the brother was talking so humbly and so nice to the sheep that he was going to slaughter. And she was just as humble and listening just as well. And didn't make a move. And he went and slaughtered her. Then he went and slaughtered her. But she was so submissive. They give up their physical life so that he might be nourished. And they have their own understanding from our Creator of what Imam Shabbat said. They understand what's being done and why they must do it. And they submit.
That's right.
But we are rebellious people. Just listening to someone tell us the way that we're supposed to live, giving us the laws that our Creator has ordained for us to live, we start rebelling and fighting them, fighting against them. And rebel against the message from our Creator. So people, we should understand why the world is in the condition that it's in today. It's not because of someone else's doing. It's because of each of our doings and not being obedient to the will of Allah. I didn't want to go on here and try to out-talk the host here. So now we do have other guests on. I'm going to call another guest here. I know one guest. I don't think this guest is going to respond. I'm going to try. I'll get to know them. Seems like I had this number on before. The number is 419-418-4367. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
You're going to push it? Going back here.
Well, I can buy slam. Beautiful sister calling in here. Yes, sister. We're waiting to hear from you.
It ain't going to take coming here. Never do.
Norm's in the background. The sister Pearl is not on.
Yes, I hear just parts of it coming in and out. So we're not getting you, sister, clearly. We don't mean to cut you off, but we're not getting you clearly. If you can come on clearer, please let us know by responding. If we can't get you any clearer, then we'll have to move on because we're just getting static and just part of what you say. Can you hear us? Okay, so we have a bad connection here, and we're going to the next person, which is, I believe we know this brother too, a big man from Winston-Salem. Imam Abdul Karim also. That's 336-409-0792.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam wa barakatuh. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah.
Fine, alhamdulillah.
Very good. And thank you for asking, and we hope you are also, brother.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother. I'm doing fine. MashaAllah. I just been listening for the past few minutes, so I heard the opening, most of the opening, and I heard the brother from Atlanta speak, alhamdulillah. And when you started, Imam, I couldn't help but think of a topic that one of the scholars that I listen to often said in one of his lectures, where he had you know, he's a Muslim scholar, and he met some of some Holocaust survivors, some people who survived the Holocaust. And I'm not calling them Jews, but I'm saying some, you know, the Jews had the Holocaust situation, and he met them, but he asked, and I guess, I mean, I don't know the Jewish religion that well, but I guess you're a Jew. If you're a Jew, you're a Jew, whether you're a practicing Jew or you believe or you don't believe. But he asked them, you know, how is your religion? How is your belief in God? And the Holocaust survivor said, I don't believe in God. You know, he said, I don't know how there could be a God who allowed me to see all the terrible things I saw and go through all the terrible things that I went through. So, you know, basically an atheist. So, I didn't want to say he's Jewish or not Jewish, but, you know, obviously all the Holocaust survivors are Jewish, but this was an atheist. And it just makes me think of how close, when you don't know your Lord, and even if you know your Lord, you're just so blessed not to have tests that are too big for you to bear, you know, tests that are too much for you. And knowing your Lord, when you know your Lord, you know that every test is just a trial, or every trial is just a test. If it brings you closer to your Lord, then you pass. And if it's something that you allow to bring you further from your Lord, then it's shame on you. And, you know, this is not not something that you were successful in handling. But every difficult situation that we're put through, every stressful situation, every loss, every huge turmoil that we're put through as Muslims, we know that our Creator, the Lord of the heaven and the earth, the Creator of everything that exists, has a master plan, and nothing is by accident. And if we allow that situation to bring us closer to our Lord, we are indeed successful at handling it. And when I think about the Jews and Moses, in particular, who is their prophet, one of the stories that's in Surah Al-Baqarah, it's in Surah Al-Kahf, excuse me, the cave, it's in Surah Al-Kahf, and the story of Musa and Dhul Khidr, and how Musa thought he had the most knowledge, and Allah, you know, wanted to reveal to him that he did not have the most knowledge, and told him to go find this Dhul Khidr. And when he found this Dhul Khidr told him that, you know, you're not going to have patience. He said, well, I want to learn from you. He says, you're not going to have patience to learn from me. And there were three different trials, and on all three different occasions, you know, Moses said something, because he wasn't the type to just sit by and see something, you know, bad happen and not say something or do something about it. And on one of those trials, Dhul Khidr, who is a character in Quran, and I only say character for lack of a better word, because he was a messenger of Allah, or at least a prophet of Allah, if not a messenger, a prophet of Allah. And Dhul Khidr killed a kid, a child, on one of these three trials. He killed a child. And Moses wasn't going to stand for that. He's like, what did you do? You killed an innocent child. And Dhul Khidr told him, I knew you weren't going to have patience, because I know things that you don't know. And after the three trials were over, when they were parting company, he told him what was the wisdom behind those three incidents. And with that particular child, which I believe was the second incident, the situation was that this child was given to two righteous parents. And this child was so bad that he might bring those parents away from the worship of their Lord. He would bring them away from the worship of their Lord. So their Lord saw it fit that he replaced that child with a better child for them. And this child was killed. And I know for any parent who loses a child, that is the most horrific thing I could possibly imagine as a father myself. And look at the patience that it takes for someone to get nearer to their Lord on such a huge trial, such a huge test. And they were blessed with a better child that brought them closer to their Lord. Whereas if they had that first child, that, you know, the first child would have brought them away from their Lord. And anything that brings you away from your Lord, no matter how good it seems in the near term, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to you. So no matter good something seems in the near term, when you're short-sighted and not looking at the big picture, like there's a Lord that you have to answer to at the end, when you're looking nearsighted, anything that you look at that brings you away from your Lord is not a good thing. No parent would ever want that terrible tragedy to happen. And they didn't know what was on the other side, but they stayed closer to their Lord. And because they did, their Lord blessed them with a better child, one that would bring them closer to their Lord, closer to Allah, instead of further. And this was knowledge that even Moses didn't know. Musa didn't know about this knowledge, but Dhul-Khidr had this knowledge. And when I think about that Holocaust survivor, I can't imagine the tragedies that he saw. I can't imagine the tragedies that he was put through by, you know, these death camps or whatever Hitler had going on over there for them. But the fact that he survived and had a chance to get nearer to his Lord, the fact that we survive, whatever we deal with, and we have a chance to get nearer to our Lord, even though our tests may not be anywhere near the test of the people who survived the Holocaust or the you know, parents that may lose a beloved child or any other tragedy that may happen, we have a Lord that has complete wisdom and knowledge of everything. And if we're put through a trial or a test, no matter how difficult, it's still a test that we can handle. And if we handle it correctly and draw nearer to our Lord, then only our Lord knows and can reward us for dealing with that trial correctly. And I just want to say that's what you brought to mind when you started about us knowing our Lord, when you opened and you mentioned, you know, about us knowing our Lord. It just brought that very deep sentiment to me. And we all pray, and I pray the loudest, that Allah doesn't give me a test more than I could bear, and that He makes whatever test He gives me bring me closer to Him and closer to His remembrance and not further. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, brother Imam. That was very beautiful and clear, and the humility makes it even more clear, because once we as human beings know who we really are, we as human beings are just like a newborn baby before Allah at all times. Now, you may be wondering, why is that so? I mean, how is that? A newborn baby can't do anything for itself. It can't talk, can't walk, can't move. If a mother don't take care of that child, that's why the mother has a high place in Islam if she's a good mother. See, paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Listen, if that mother leaves that child will die. Likewise, on the other hand, when we lose the remembrance of Allah, we will die. Why? Because Allah takes care of us in every way you can think of. We need Allah just like a baby needs his mother for everything. Tell me you don't need Allah for something. Tell me what you don't need from Allah. And tell me that Allah is the only one that can fulfill your needs. Allah say the false god that most people worship, other than Him, don't have no power to help themselves or help the people that's calling on them. You see, so I mean, this world now is at a state where the evil is at all. I think the greatest and the worstest in the history of humankind, because I see history repeating itself. But this time, when Allah repeat history, Allah say He gonna repeat history and take it back to where He created history in the beginning. And you know, in the beginning, Allah say when He created His creation, He created it all good. So He's gonna do that again before He destroyed this world.
And if you are not, Allah says this. Allah says he keep the good around here on earth for the good of mankind. And he say that which is bad, he takes away. And you can see that so clearly because when you are doing bad and evil, you shorten your life. You kill other people and you kill yourself. You shorten your life. But when you are doing good, it seems like I look at so many Muslims and people, your life is extended. Here I am in my 60s. People just can't believe it. They just got to tell me, no. You in your late 40s. But why is that? And I tell them this. I say, well, it's a combination of things. I said, first of all, you have to eat right. You have to eat right foods. But I say, you have to think right. And I say, also, you have to work and continuously to serve Allah, your Creator, through all your sickness. And you read about the prophets in the Quran and the messengers, peace be upon them all. Though they were ill and went through the illnesses, one of the prophets was Prophet Lut, alayhi salam, peace be upon him. Allah allowed this man to suffer all kinds of afflictions. It didn't look like he was going to even live. His wife even told him, said, listen, you need to, in other words, just let this guy go and just us try to make it on our own. And he told her, say, my wife, don't think foolishly. In other words, it might this is the meaning of it. He say, Allah, our Creator, he's testing us. And he say, and this right here makes me feel good because Allah is showing you with Prophet Lut, the greater your trials and temptations in this world, the more you lose in this world, if you're sincere, Allah not only will give you back what he took from you, but he'll give you even more. So that man kept his faith no matter what he went through, and he suffered a long time, him and his wife. She used to have to cut some of her beautiful hair off. She had long, beautiful hair, and everybody adored her hair. So they would buy her hair. She had to cut her hair off just to get food for to feed her and her husband. That's how poverty-stricken Allah made them. And before Allah did that, he was a rich man, and he had a nice-sized family. He had a lot of friends. But when he started suffering all these afflictions, all of them wanted to turn away from him. And we are like that. People are like that in the world today. They say they're your friend. And when you need them, you know, they don't want to give up on nothing. You know, I'm your friend as long as you don't need me. But if you need me, now, whoa, that's when the friendship stops. So Allah says in my conclusion at this time, very important, and the world ain't going to change till we do this from this evil condition that's about to annihilate the whole human race. Listen, Allah says he created us in the Quran as nations, tribes, and nations of the world that we might get to know one another, love one another, and not hate and despise one another. And then he goes on to say in the Quran, the most honored of you in my sight is the one who is best in their conduct, and that is best in remembering me at all times, my goodness, and obeying and following my divine moral laws the best they can at all times. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you, guys. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabab, the reality of a creator. And we want to thank you for joining us this Sunday and ask you as you join us to invite others to join us also and give us some feedback. Join and listen, sure, but also join and participate. And let us hear from you and give us the comments, ask the questions. Let us know that you're there and that you are interested in now showing the message that these brothers are working so hard to bring to you today. The message of how to live instead of how to die. And that's the only message we seem to be getting so far. It's that which is helping us to destroy ourselves and not to bring us back to the right way of living, the best way of living. Yes, and I was listening here, as I was listening to the man here from Winston Salem, it made me think when he's talking about the conditions of how, what's going on today, really, in America and in China. In America, look at the Latinos and what's happening, how they are being stripped of their children and divided from each other. And the children are left here in the country. And they are refused. Many of them can't even come into the country. They refuse to leave the country, leave their family. Cruelty, evilness, what's happening to the children, how they are dying in these places they have here in America. Then we look at China and what's happening to the Muslims there. Even though they are made to give up their names, to give up their religion, to give up their whole way of life, yes, they are in concentration camps in China. And this is the cruel, evil things that happen. The way they are being killed over there in horrendous ways. Today, this is not something that happened thousands of years ago. Why? Because today has become yesterday. Yesterday is upon us. We're the same people who have evolved from thousands of years ago and live in the same conditions that the law had to destroy the people back then. The reason he will have to destroy us again today, because we are that rebellious people. We refuse to submit to the will of our Creator and to live a good life, a decent life. We don't want that kind of life. And so therefore, people, what is upon us, we will see, will not be what we're looking for. And now I will try here. I believe we have a guest here. That side, our beautiful cousin here, Renam Shabazz, he always listens in. Most Sundays he's here with us, supporting us. I see his number up here lit up. But he prefers to listen, and that's well. That's great. We pray that he's enjoying it, and obviously here because of support and giving us each Sunday. So we're going to go back to our imam here in Georgia and hear from him again. Assalamu alaikum. Imam Abdul Karim.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. I wanted to go on about what Allah says in the Quran. He says, most certainly, they committed blasphemy who said Allah is one of three, whereas there is no deity other than the one deity. If these people do not desist from uttering such words, a terrible chastisement shall be inflicted on all those from among them who have been guilty of blasphemy. Will they not then turn to Allah and ask his pardon? Allah is very forgiving and compassionate. The Messiah, son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many messengers had already passed away before him. His mother was a righteous woman, and they both ate food. Behold, how we make clear to them the signs leading to the reality. And again, behold, how they are perverted. This verse denies very clearly the Christian doctrine of the divinity of Jesus, alayhi salam. If one sincerely wishes to know what he really was, one can judge very easily.
Excuse me, brother, I apologize for interrupting, but I'm really not able to hear you that well. If it's possible for you to speak a little louder.
Okay.
Thank you. That's better.
If one sincerely wishes to know what he really was, one can judge very easily with the help of the signs given that he was no more than a man. The gospel itself bears witness that he was a human being and subject to the usual wants and necessities of ordinary persons. He was born of a woman, Mary. He had a genealogical tree like all other human beings. He had a human body, which had all the characteristics and limitations of other human bodies. He slept, he ate food, and he felt heat and cold. He was even tempted by the devil. These things clearly show that he could not be Allah, nor could he have been a partner with Allah in his Godhead. It is a shame feat of mental perversion that the Christians insist on ascribing Godhead to Jesus, alayhi salam, in spite of the fact that their own gospel depicts him purely as a human being. This is a clear proof of the fact that they do not believe in the gospels, but in an imaginary Christ whom they themselves have invented and raised to Godhead.
That's right. Wa alaykum salam. Beautiful. That's very important, what you just said, because this is not just a problem with African Americans in America. And what do I mean by that? Black, dark-skinned people all over the world right now, because of our skin color, and the Jews and the Gentiles, the Caucasians, their children, they lied on the prophet Noah and said Allah cursed one of his sons. I think Ham, you can correct me, but in there, ma'am, I stand to be correct. And say that's why we are black, the dark-skinned people. That's a lie. See, they lie. They lie. They are liars. You know, even in the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, they had two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain was jealous of his brother Abel because his mother and father gave more attention to him to cultivate him because he wanted to be a good child. Cain was a mischief maker. He liked to do things that his mother and father didn't want him to do. He liked to do what he wanted to do. So he said, I'll fix this here. I'm going to get the attention of my mother and father. I'm going to get all of it because I'm going to kill my brother. You see? So what is my point? My point is this, is that racism started and division started with the first man and woman. Division started. Even before Allah put them down here on earth, Adam and Eve, Eve, in the heavens up there, where they were, where Allah had created them, their life up there, they were given instructions to not eat from a certain tree, fruit trees, symbolic, but it's still true. And the main thing is they were told by Allah, listen, enjoy all the good things I've given you in this garden. But when you come to the tree in the midst of the garden that bear the fruit of good and evil, he said, don't eat of that tree, because the day you eat from that tree, you will surely die. And so we see racism started and division started with Satan. And then he got people, us, our mother and father, to divide. And what type of division did he get them got them into? When you take your attention off Allah, that means your attention is divided. The only reality is Allah. Satan was telling them something false. And the first one who bit that hook was Eve, our mother. May Allah's peace be upon both of them. And the same thing is happening today. The Satan is using the woman to destroy the human race, because the Satan knows that the woman cannot lead the human race because she won't create it to lead the human race. She was created to support the law-fearing men who, like myself, who are out here striving to make this world a better society, working and willing to give my life for freedom, and been doing for 45 years, freedom, justice, and equality for all people. But at the same time I've been blessed to do that, I've had to work for my own people first. How can you help other people and neglect your own people? Allah won't accept that. And that's why African Americans are suffering and killing themselves so much. Because why? they don't even love themselves, but they're trying to love everybody else. You look at most African Americans, they ain't married into their own race no more. They don't even like their own race. The majority of them, Muslim too, they marry people of other races. And even if they marry into their own race, they don't know how to treat each other. The man is at the woman's throat. The woman is at the man's throat. And all of this right here is by plan. It ain't no accident. Allah say that Satan is down here to divide man and woman. Just like he said, he sent the angels Hara and Marat to test man and woman to see if they would hold on to the unity of Allah and realize that they were one and the same, that they were one soul. And those angels was to test them to see if they would divide from each other and follow their carnal desires and get caught up into the evil and lust of this world. So this is what is happening right now. Most people are caught up into their carnal desires. And hypocrisy is a terrible thing. Allah said hypocrites are going to be in the lowest depths of the hellfire. And it ain't nothing but hypocrisy for you to say you believe in Allah and you follow his prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one that was sent by Allah 1,400 some years ago as the last and the best role model, Allah say, for Muslims and all mankind. So there's nobody today since 1,400 years ago that can follow any other so-called religion and Allah accept, because it is not the religion that none of his prophets taught. All the books that Allah revealed to all the prophets, all of those and the messages that he sent those books to, that the Jews, Christians, Buddhists, all of them say they follow, all of the truth is in the Holy Quran. Allah fulfills all his revelations. He completed all his revelations in the book Quran. So there's no other book in the world you can get all truth. You can get some truth out of other books, but some truth won't save you. All truth has got to save you. It's just like Allah ain't going to accept you saying, you created me weak in flesh, so Allah, you know how weak I am, so please forgive me, and then go back and do the same thing over and over again. That's not just because he created you weak in flesh. He created you weak in flesh to test your faith so that you could realize that, you know, without his help and guidance, you will remain weak in faith. And out of weakness comes, people, wickedness. Wicked people are weak. You see? So I want to read something here, Allah, briefly. It's short. I'll be short. Inshallah. Allah bless me. I write a lot now. I say this here, Allah bless me to say here, human life is a composition. Composition means things coming together. Human life is a composition of righteousness and good morality. There can be no human life without these two aspects of human life. Yes, without these two aspects of human life working together. You see, righteousness and good morality, they go together. You can't separate them two. We go on to say here, they separate the human life, which is the spiritual life. In other words, I get a little caught up sometime. I'm human. But anyway, what it is saying is that if you don't have good morality, and if you don't have right, if you're not living a righteous life, then you are not connected with Allah. And then in my finish, here at the end, the human spiritual life That's what it said. It said these two aspects, righteousness and good morality, separates the evil from the human life and bring the human life back to the human soul and the human spiritual life from the animal life. And it says here the human animal life is a house for the real spiritual life to live in. So the real world for human life is inside the human soul. Yeah, inside the human soul. And the outer world, is only a test to see who will choose the unseen world of Allah or who will choose the outer world of false illusions. People, we have been blessed by our Creator, Allah, and put down here on earth only for a very short time with evil and good to see who will choose evil or who will choose good. The good leads us to Allah, and the evil takes us away from the remembrance of Allah. This is most people's downfall today, because Allah say in His final revelations in the Quran, the end of evil is evil, and the end of good is good. Then Allah goes on and gives us the key to free our souls from ourselves. Yes. Yes, I think that's where I'm going to stop that right there, people. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabab, the reality of a creator. And we want to thank you for joining us and ask you to continuously join in. We pray that you are enjoying today's discussion and that you will invite others to join in with you. I can see that the list is growing in my statistics when I look at it. We have had, I think we had about 25 extra people from last week, since I saw it last week. Maybe a little more who had listened in. So we want to thank Allah for each one. Even one is a blessing. But to have the many numbers that we have, I think it's 3,037 is what I saw today. And it was a little over 3,000 last week. So as you can see, the numbers are growing, the people are listening. And we want to keep the message coming to them. That's what they're looking for now. They're looking for right guidance. And that's what we're offering them. Now we have here another imam that we will give a chance again to express himself. Our imam from Mr. Zayla, Imam Abdul Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. I'm doing more listening now than anything, but I didn't have anything new to add. I liked what you shared there at the end, Brother Imam Shabazz. And, you know, the reminder is what benefits the believer. So no one has a perfect lock on their belief or on Islam. You know, everyone is growing, everyone is learning, and everyone should take these opportunities to get closer to their Lord and, you know, hopefully take something from this or these conversations that can straighten out an action that you might have, you know, or a practice that you might have that might be taking you away from your Lord that this reminds you of. So, you know, stay away from what you're told to stay away from and go near to what you're told to go near to. You know, the Quran, the book we read, the Quran says, you know, Allah says in the Quran, hasten towards the good things. Hasten towards His remembrance, like run, like, you know, put some effort to hustle towards the prayer.
That's right.
Get over there and pray. That's right. You know, go over there and pray. If you have free time, spend it doing some good. Don't waste your idle time.
That's right.
You know, don't waste your idle time doing that. When you spend your idle time listening to things that bring you closer to your Lord, that's a good expenditure of your time. When you, you know, just
want
to sit back in your hammock and not do anything, that's a bad spending of your time. So these things that remind us of our Lord are very, very important. And, you know, taking this time out, an hour, hour and change on a Sunday to you know, listen and hopefully pick something up that brings you closer to your Lord is a blessing. And I hope everyone listening, you know, has an opportunity to, you know, take the good from what is said and leave whatever mistakes are made, throw that on the curb and, you know, take the good from what is said and hopefully it benefits. So, you know, Shukran, and I just wanted to say that, inshallah. I know you're getting close to the closing. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, brother, amen.
Alhamdulillah. You're welcome out.
So, sisters, you want to bring on another host, or you want me to come back on, or you want to say something?
Okay, brother, if you want to come back on, you may. We have 19 minutes left here, so we can have the brothers in Georgia to express themselves again, give us some more information here of this good inspiration advice from Allah. Brother Imam Abdul Karim from Georgia this time.
Well, we need to stop right now because time is of the essence, so we got it short. You said we ain't got about 15 minutes, so each of us got
the short. We have almost 20. We have almost 20, which is
okay. Okay, well, we still want it short, though. Okay, no, I wasn't talking about you, brother, ma'am. I was just letting the co-host know I am the host, so I can, you know, intervene and say things that need to be said, you know. And I'm just saying I want everybody to have an opportunity because all of what everybody is saying, especially you three brother imams, and we are imams, spiritual leaders, spiritual guides, and good role models. So we just want to shorten it. And so go ahead on, brother imam.
Allah says in the Quran, say to them, O Muhammad, do you worship instead of Allah?
That can you speak
no
up, brother, imam?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, can you speak up, brother, imam? Yes, but your voice seemed to be low, you know.
Oh, okay. I got my volume
I can
all
hear
way
you
up.
Much better. Okay, yeah, I can hear you much better now.
Say to them, O Muhammad, do you worship instead of Allah that which has no power to harm nor benefit you? In fact, it is Allah alone who hears everyone and knows everything. Say, O people of the book, do not transgress the bounds of truth in your religion. And do not follow the fancies of those who themselves went astray before you and led astray many others and strayed away from the right way. This refers to the misguided nations from whom the Christians picked up wrong creeds and false ways. The reference is especially to the Greek philosophers whose fancies misled the Christians from the right way, which had been shown to them at the start. The beliefs of the first followers of the Messiah conform to a great extent to the reality they themselves had witnessed and to what had been taught to them by their prophet. But later on, the Christians went so much beyond the limits in showing reverence and veneration to the Messiah and were so influenced by the fancies and philosophical interpretations of their beliefs that they invented a new religion that had nothing in common with the real teachings of the Messiah. In this connection, the following extracts from Jesus Christ by the Reverend Charles Anderson Scott, Encyclopedia Britannica, 14th edition, are worth reading. Apart from the birth stories at the opening of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the exact significance of which in this respect is ambiguous, there's nothing in these three Gospels to suggest that their writers thought of Jesus as other than human. A human being, specially endued with the Spirit of God and standing in an unbroken relation to God, was justified his being spoken of as the Son of God. Even Matthew refers to him as a carpenter's son and records that after Peter had acknowledged him as Messiah, he took him and began to rebuke him. It is very singular that in spite of the fact that before Mark was composed, the Lord had become the description of Jesus, common among Christians. He is never so described in the second gospel, nor yet in the first, though the word is clearly used to refer to God. All three relate the passion of Jesus with the fullness and emphasis of its great significance, but expect the ransom passage, Mark 10th to 45th verse, and certain words of the Last Supper. There's no indication of the meaning which was afterwards attached to it. It is not even suggested that the death of Jesus had any relation to sin or forgiveness. Had the ransom saying been suggested by Paul, it would not stand as it does in its isolated vagueness. I'm going to stop there because we're running out of time. Inshallah, I'm going to make a video of this and you'll be able to see it and hear it. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, Brother Imam. And thank you for coming on today and joining us. And may Allah bless you to continue to grow in His wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and to follow the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, so that you can be one of the best role models of the day, because it don't take a lot of people to change the world. It only takes sincere people who love their Creator, and they are live and die for their Creator. They ain't living and dying for themselves or nothing else. And Prophet Muhammad and his followers, many of them, they gave their lives to establish Islam today. And so I'm going to shorten that right there and let Brother Abdul Kareem come on, and because it's probably about prayer time. Brother Imam Kareem, you can come on now if you will. Want to?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Did you want me to say a closing prayer? Or did you want me to just share something?
Yeah, just share something, because the sister said we had a few more minutes.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. I was in the, I'm in the county usually Sunday. I'm in the county jail talking to the brothers there. And, you know, unfortunately here in Forsyth County, they'll keep you in the county jail 2-3 years, you know. So it's almost like, you know, like you're in prison or something, you know. So these are people that are not convicted, not even had trial yet. I know in other states, you know, you couldn't spend more than a month or something like that in the county. But here, you'd be there 2-3 years, some of them. And we were talking about how come, you know, they have this rotation in the county jails where people come and then I don't see them come to the masjid, but they come to my course while I'm in the jail, and I may not see them for a year or two, and then the next time I see them, it'll be back while they're at the jail. And we're talking about that revolving door. Yeah, that revolving door, and what are the difficulties that they have that keep them from coming to the masjid? Okay, you might be addicted to something that might keep you coming to the jail, but while you're in the jail, you come into a Muslim class, you're learning about Islam, you're Muslim, you're praying with us, you've taken Shahada. So what keeps you when you get out from coming to the masjids that you pass by every day while you run in the streets? What keeps you from coming into the door and praying and worshiping your Lord? And all the excuses that we have today are the same excuses that the Sahaba, which are the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, the same. The complaints are the same today as what was before. Whenever you become a group or come join a group or join any organization, there's usually going to be some rules. There's going to be some things you can do, some things that you can't do. And Allah said this religion is easy. You know, the deen is easy. He said, the Prophet said the deen is a few different things, but easy was one of them. And there's certain roads, certain things, that certain doors that are open that the shaitan is going to try to come through to keep you from coming to the presence of your Lord. And it's
That's
up
right.
to us to close, and it's up to us to close those doors. You know, we
That's
know
right.
for men, our big thing is going to be women. For men, our big thing is going to be money. For men, you know, we're going to have a few things that are just going to be the top two or three for all men, and then we're going to have a few different individual ones, you know, our own personal problems. But
That's right.
One of the big things was just keeping the shaitan out of your conversation and injecting Allah into your conversation, because the shaitan
right.
is always going to be whispering to you, don't do this good thing, don't do that good thing, you could do it tomorrow. Don't
That's
go
right.
to the mosque. Don't pray. Don't get close. Those brothers said something on the radio that I heard that I think makes me want to read some Quran. The shaitan is going to be saying, oh, you know, you could read it later. The brother said something that makes me want to go to the mosque and pray. Oh, you could pray later. You could go do it later. The thing is, you got to push that out by keeping Allah in, by always remembering
yes.
the Lord, knowing that He's watching you, and knowing your Lord, which you know what pleases Him. And what pleases Him is knowing His oneness. We take that very seriously, knowing that the
yes,
Allah's oneness is a serious thing. And when you know that, you're going to try your best to get closer to your Lord without associating any partners with Him. And when you
That's
when
right.
you do that, Allah's going to open doors for you. He's going to open doors
yes,
and
is.
Bring you closer to Him. No doubt.
Yes, sir.
We could all attest to that. You take one step to Allah, He's taken two or three steps towards you. You walk to Allah, He's running towards you. So we could all attest to that, and my ears are closest to my mouth when I speak, but these things that keep us away from Allah's remembrance are all temporary, short-term, and fake. They're in this world, they're dunya, they don't mean a doggone thing. What matters is what goes on our scale of good deeds at the end.
That's right.
And what goes on our scale of good deeds are things that we did sincerely to please our Lord. You know, we want to increase those things that we do sincerely to please our Lord. Okay? And when we do those things, they go on our scale of good deeds, and that's all that really counts. What counts here, you know, if you had more money than this person, if you had a nicer car than that person, or you got nicer clothes than it, that doesn't count for anything. That only
it's
counts when you're doing your thing. Yep. So
that's right.
That's the reminder. And I told the brothers, and we'll continue to remind them in the county, and we'll continue to remind us out here that are fortunate enough not to be in the county, that, hey, if the county is the best place for you, if that's what makes you come to the remembrance of your Lord, you know?
That's right.
But you got to build yourself up to the position where you can come close to the remembrance of your Lord without having to be locked up to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. You should want to come to the remembrance of your Lord. And I pray that Allah makes that easy for them and makes it easy for us, you know, to continue to worship Him in a way that pleases Him. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for those very necessary words and very, very encouraging words, because as you say, Allah say over and over again in Quran, remembrance of Allah is the greatest force or power we have in this world without doubt, and Allah sees and knows all things. Allah say when a thought of evil from Shaitan assail our mind, call Allah in remembrance, when low, down low with Satan, He bless us to see aright. See the right way to go. But you have to stay in remembrance of Allah at all times. And I want to say this for these people, materialistic people in this materialistic world, Muslim or whatever you call yourself. As Brother Imam just said, Allah says in Quran, it is not our material wealth, nor our following in our family, relatives, so-called friends, whoever, or how many ever. He said, ain't money or people or material things that's going to bring you closer to Him in steps, stages, and degrees, spiritually. He says, only our faith and good deeds, as the Imam just stressed. And in my conclusion, and then we pray, Allah say on the day of judgment, resurrection and judgment, He's going to judge us by our faith and intentions. So make sure that whatever you do,
If you believe in Allah, do it to please Allah. Don't do it to please yourself. See, practice leads to perfection. You got to practice obeying Allah. And then if, after practice so long, Allah bless you to become like he did me in Mazalat, a master over yourself. And he said he ain't going to accept you ain't true, and he ain't going to accept your faith until you gain total control over your carnal self-desires, which is evil. So people, money, material things, as the Imam said, Allah said, they're just for temporary convenience while we're in this world. But he said after we die and we stand before him at the resurrection and judgment, the rich people here, he said all the wealth they got, if it was $1 trillion, he said it ain't gonna save them from the hellfire. He said all the wealth on the earth, he may have mentioned even two times, he said you can't give that as no ransom to save your soul. He said the only ones that will prosper on the day of judgment, in my conclusion, is those who bring to him a sound heart, a pure heart. We pray, O Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one with no partners, the one who have no beginning and no ending, the one who have all knowledge, the one who have all power, the one who is the only one that can guide us on your straight path, and those whom you guide, no one can lead astray, and those whom you leave astray because they don't want you to guide them, you leave them astray because you don't need them. You're free of all needs, worthy of all praise, Allah. So we thank you for this day, Allah. We ask your forgiveness. If we said anything that wasn't in accord with your will in the Quran and the Sunnah of your Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And we pray that you will bless us, as the Imam said, to get better in our relationship with you every day. Try to improve our relationship with you more the next day than you did the day prior. And Allah says always room for us to get closer to him, as you said, Brother Imam, by doing good. And you don't have to always do good with money, because a lot of people ain't got money. The greatest good ain't with money no way, giving nobody no money. The greatest good is wanting your brother and your sister to have the good heavenly life Allah created for us here and in the hereafter. To want heaven for your brother. And, you know, that's the greatest. That's the greatest help you can give your brother and your sister. And so, you know, basically that's the prayer, you know. I mean, and I thank you all for your time. I hope that I was clear. I hope you all was clear to the people listening. And I love you, Brother Imams, and I thank you all for coming on. I really, you give me great help. You give me great help. And may Allah bless you all in Atlanta, and you right here with me, Brother Imam Abdul. Bless us to grow in our community so we can help these people out here who are starving for spiritual knowledge. That's why they're killing, and it's rampant, because they don't know love. See, if you don't have a lie in your life, you don't have no love in your life. And if you don't have no love in your life, what's dominating your life? Evil. So that's what changed the world 1,400 good years ago. Prophet Muhammad.
You become
strong. Lord, thank you for joining us this Sunday. Join us the same time every Sunday for Imam Chahish Bob, the reality of the Creator, and always invite someone else to join with you. Inshallah. Have a great day, a blessed day. And I salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
From the day you were born, that promise was kept true. There was so much work to do. But something special about you, and that something told us the time had come, and you would be the one who fulfilled all the hopes, all the dreams and prayers, and get the job done. There were many roads and obstacles.